In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Last week we talked about what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, some of the things. And I want to continue that, except that I want to cover our identification with him today. And there's a lot of depth to this subject, and I'm not going to hit all, obviously, you could spend a real significant amount of time on just what I'm going to cover today in detail. But we're going to go over it, and you'll get all the facts concerning the case. You just won't get every bit of little detail that there is to it. But this verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Our Lord and Savior made himself, all right? Most people who recognize and know something about Christianity believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and they were covered on the cross. Many people believe these basic wonderful things that they're taught, but there's a double transfer here in this verse, okay? It's really a double transfer. See, Jesus Christ, he made himself to be sin for us. He transferred to himself our sins. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He transferred to us the righteousness of God. He who died for us, he took upon himself our sins. He substituted himself for our sins. And at the same time, he transferred to us, through what he accomplished, the righteousness of God. That is just, I don't know how to make that. That's an explosion of truth. You know, when in Leviticus, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and this is why I said this is just going to be a little cursory view. I mean, I could go into detail on all those things. But the scapegoat, the priest would take his hands and he would put his hands upon the goat's head and he would confess the sins of the people. He transferred to the goat the sins of the people. It's the same. This was the truth. That goat and many of the sacrifices had to be eaten afterwards. Not every single one of them, but many of them. But you'll see this thing, you know, like the laying on of hands, you know, in the Old Testament. It's got nothing to do with what you see in folks today. It's a transference in the Old Testament. And it's not just every once in a while. This wasn't just some fluke of a Levitical, you know, somebody thought this was a nice idea. It's repeated so often in the Old Testament. It's not just a haphazard type of thing. It was a direct transference. God wanted the people to see in absolute terms that this thing was going to bear the sins, that goat. Jesus Christ bore ours. From us to him, our sins. He became sin. And he transferred to us the righteousness of God in him. Go to Romans chapter 6. See, when you understand, and this is identification, when you realize what he has done for you and you identify and understand what he has done, you have a communion with him. But it, like I said, go to Romans chapter 6. We'll start here. Actually, we should read the whole chapter, but we're going to start here in verse 3. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, you are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, and death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Then it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What he did for us, his substitution, when he died, our old man nature was hung on that cross and died with him. Go back to verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. Now, everybody thinks of the word baptism as water, right? That's not what baptism is all about necessarily. First time baptism used in the Bible is talked about baptized in water, baptized by fire. It's not always about water. I mean, it tells you in the first time it's ever used in the Bible that it's more than one thing. Baptism means to be immersed, all right? You are immersed in Christ. You believe what he has done. You have immersed yourself in that. Well, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried, okay? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. That we, it says here, just keep it to what it says, that we should walk in newness of life. This is not talking about that we're going to be in heaven. This is not talking about the kingdom to come, although that we're getting there. This is talking about when he died for us, our body was dead and buried. And he was raised, therefore we can walk now, in newness of life. I'm not waiting for it to come. You have the ability, if you immerse yourself in the identification of what he has done, if you get this, you now, in this life, right now, your old man nature is dead. It's been buried. That's why it says later on in 11, therefore reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. This is by faith. You choose because of what he has done. You choose to reckon your old man dead. And you are new. You are no longer what you once were. Just like God said in the manifest, that you've got the Christ in you, you've got the power, you got him with you. You can walk like our Lord walked in newness of life. Right? For if we have been planted together, this is an explanation again, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old man nature, the sin nature, the Adam nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin, look at that, old man, body of sin, might be destroyed. That individual, John McCabe, before Christ, is dead. You're a new individual. That henceforth we should not serve sin. The word serve is to bow. And to bow in the context here is just like the word for worship. Before I knew Christ, before I believed the gospel, I didn't have a choice. All I had was sin. And all I walked with was in that old nature. Selfish, self-centered, all about me, what am I going to get? And whatever pleased me is what I wanted. After, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, when I start to believe what God has done for me, now I no longer walk unto myself, but to walk in his love, to walk in that grace, to walk in newness of life. He's given me the Spirit. He's shed abroad the love of God in my heart. By that Holy Spirit, he's given me the ability that what came natural, I don't have to do. I'm dead to that, and I am alive unto him. And he's given us the ability to walk in this new nature. So, verse 7, for he that is dead, you and I, if you and I reckon our old man dead, he that is dead, if we believe this, you're freed from the old nature, sin. You've been delivered from the bondage. It says in Corinthians, you've been bought with a price. You are freed from the old. Now, if we, and it's an if we be dead with Christ. See, the point is, just like everything else in Scripture, there was one point would say, I'd say, well, there's no really if here because we're all born again in God's Spirit. We got everything that he said, this, that, and the other thing. But you well know that this is all about renewed mind. This is all about faith. This is all about accepting what has been done. If you don't accept it, you don't have any of it. If you don't take responsibility for your life, you still serve sin. If you choose to still walk in the old man nature and be selfish and sinful and arrogant, and you know, whether it be adultery or stealing or you know, lust or any other thing, then you still serve sin. And you are not accepting your identification with Christ. It's yours to have, but you don't choose to do it. Do you follow? So, I mean, I take nothing away from what I used to believe, if you want to just look on the positive side. But you also have to equally take upon the responsibility of choosing to walk. So he, verse 7 again, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You know, he died for me. I am in this life, I walk with him. And when he returns, I'll be changed, new mind, new body, and forevermore with the Lord. You believe that. And you got something to keep your head. You got that hope. That hope keeps you purified. It keeps you on the narrow. You know? Knowing that Christ being raised, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. And death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now again, it's what? The back and forth. He died unto sin once. He raised from the dead, he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon. Now, you know, you remember the old cowboy movies, I Reckon? Okay? I love it. We don't use that word too often anymore, but what does it mean? Think about, consider. I reckon this is the way it ought to be. You think it through, you consider, you make the decision in your soul. You add it all up. You know, they used to call addition ciphering, I think, right? You cipher the numbers. You add it all up. Now we're talking way back, you know, way back. I only know that because I watch a lot of cowboy movies, you know what I mean? That a whole different lingo. That's all right. We got a whole different one today, too. You reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. You come to the conclusion and then make the decision that that old man, like John McCabe of the past before Christ, is dead. You know, so many times you hear, I've heard it from myself many times through the years. Well, it's kind of like the way I am. No, it's not. He's dead. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You choose who you're going to serve. Whoever you yield yourself to, remember this 1611 English? Whoever you surrender, you know, when you're in the duel and the, you know, the old court, I yield, I surrender. You surrender yourself unto God and righteousness. Don't yield, surrender to sin. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Come on, wake up. God forbid. Smack him around. That's how I feel about smack the smack him around. Come on, wake up. Of course not. We're new. We're walking in newness of life in Christ Jesus. You've got God and Christ in you. You have the ability to walk with his counsel, his love, his power, his everything, if you reckon it dead and yourself alive unto him. This is not arrogance. This is what you have been transferred to you. Do you identify with that? People identify with a lot of things. They identify with their heritage, their color, their economic place, their job. You know, I'm a fireman. You know what I mean? What do you identify with? This is what you want to. This is where you want your mind to go. I'm a son of the living God. I walk in newness of life, and I happen to be a fireman. Do you see what I mean? But it's got to, this is by faith. You appropriate this because it's, this is what God says of you. This is what he said. He came to do, and he transferred to you, and he replaced you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He was tortured for you. Therefore, you have paid the price because he paid it for you. You've been bought back. But you got to choose to live it. So just to look at that for a second. Talking about the old nature, it says in those verses, we were crucified. It's been crucified. It's dead. It's buried. And it's destroyed. Talking about the new nature, we'll start, you know, I'll list that in a little bit. Go to Ephesians 2. Go to verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins. That's what we just talked about in Romans. We're dead. We were dead in sins. He hath quickened us, made us alive. Word quickened, to make alive. Us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We were dead. The old man nature was dead. Jesus Christ made us alive by grace. As he died, God raised him. We died. Our old man nature died on that cross. And God has given us, he's raised us so that we can walk in this life, newness of life. And I say that because of the context of Romans 6. There's plenty of places that tell you that you're going to be with him forever. But right now, in this identification, so I won't need to be identified with him. I will know even as I am know in the future. I'll have a brand new mind. I won't struggle anymore to put nothing on because it will be written in my heart. We can walk in newness of life right now. The life that our Lord has given us by the Spirit, by the truth, the power of God. Right now. Back to Ephesians 2. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's made us to sit in the spiritual realm. We live in the Spirit. He's made us to sit in heavenly places, it says in King James, but this is the spiritual realm. Remember, everybody used to jump through hoops to figure out where the heavenlies were. It's a spiritual realm. We walk by the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We're walking in newness of life. I walk hand in hand in communion with my Lord. That's what it's talking about. What's this, newness of life? What's the practical app? We read some of it before. Let's just go back there. Romans 6 again. Just a reminder. Romans 6:11. Again, so what does this walking in newness of life look like in a very practical and wonderful way? It says, verse 11, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You take the responsibility. Now, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. This is what it looks like, okay? Don't yield to sin. Don't yield to unrighteousness. But instead, yield yourself to the commandments of God, to our Lord, to His working within you. Choose to walk by that Spirit. Okay? Go to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ. Now, everybody, like I said years ago, every time this little condition showed up, if, we changed it to the word since. Because we didn't like the fact that this was conditional. It is conditional. This is a choice. You yield yourself unto righteousness. You yield yourself unto sin. You choose. You can be walking with the Lord in the spiritual realm, or you can be walking in the flesh. It is conditional. And I know a lot of Christians don't like that. But hey, you know what? Read what's written. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Obviously, you can do both, right? Don't do this, do this. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. I'm still sucking wind, but I am dead. The old McCabe is dead. You just got to get the concept. And my life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, blow it up, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. The wages of sin is death, right? I mean, it's going to be bad. In the which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its deeds, this old nature of Adam with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. It's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's renewed. That's why I said to understand your identification. It's renewed in knowledge. Like I said, a lot of people know, yeah, Jesus Christ died for my sins. His blood covered me. But they don't know that they're dead. And that they're to walk like him in newness of life. Do you see what I mean? They don't take it that far. You got to study, think about, pursue the word. There's so much in just that one verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the double transfer, and how it fit with everything that's back here. It's thrilling, but even more, it's powerful. It's practical. And it's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Remember, we read this last week in Galatians. I mean, this is the only liberty that there is. Whatever your background, whatever your sex, whatever your ethnic origin, Christ is the only one that's made everyone absolutely equal. You've got everything that he's got. It's a double transfer. He took away all your sins and all the sins of mankind that believe on him. And he has transferred to them righteousness of God. Don't matter who you are. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, you choose to put this on. Holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God, charity, agapeo, which is the bond of perfectness. Put that on above all. See, when you walk in love, you can't be doing so many stupid things. Yeah, we got a little plaque in the bathroom upstairs. You know, Mary sticks these beautiful little things up there. It says, if you look me, people, if you're sorry or you're walking in sorrow, it's because you're looking behind. All right? If you're, I forget what the little plaque says. Just three things. You would think my brain would work. It says, if you're anxious, it's because you're looking around. Okay? But if you got faith, you're looking up. Cute little thing. You can only think if, like go back, you know, you think about that verse again, just for, the, If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. If you set your affections up there, if this is where your head's at, if this is where you're thinking, if you're thinking the spiritual realm, guess what the thing is going to be? You're walking the spiritual realm. You want to think about, you want to let your mind drift and think about something you shouldn't be thinking of. Guess what? That's where you go. You can only think of one thing at a time. Okay? I mean, I've tried this a couple of times because I've heard that expression and I've heard this, and it's absolutely true for me. Okay? Whatever you do, don't think of hamburger. You just thought of it. You could see it. You could smell it. You could taste it. That's how words affect us. That's how words affect us. If I tell you, don't think of, it doesn't matter. As soon as you hear the thing, you go there. What do you focus on? As soon as you focus, you choose. You choose to think. You choose to put on. You choose to focus. That's where you go. And when the other thing shows up, you flick it out as quick as it shows. You keep captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians. How powerful are words? No matter how much you don't want to think about something, if somebody mentions it, you think of it. And if they're thinking about garbage, that's what you just got put in your stupid brain. That's why, at least here at Fellowship, what we try to do is, let's just talk about the scriptures. I hear all the rest of this stuff in life. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about each other and pray and whatever. Let's keep it in the spiritual realm. You want to talk about stuff? Well, then that's what we end up thinking about. Smack it around. That's what I do to myself all the time. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Gabish. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Well, actually, go to 20. It says, verse 22, it says, but put you off concerning the former conversation. Again, the old man. This is everywhere, all over the place. You put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. I mean, just that alone. Just that alone. You don't lie. So one thing I told my kids, you never do. Because you know what lying does? In a real close family? It breaks the relationship. It breaks the relationship. All of a sudden, I don't know if I can trust what you say anymore. I don't know if I believe what you say anymore. It devastates the thing. It's not little. Just tell the truth. Take your lumps, because you know what? The people in your family, they want to forgive. They want to help. They want to reckon, but they got to know they can trust what comes out of your mouth. Same thing in the church. Don't lie. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, it's okay. This is the word angry. It's okay to be angry. I think most people are shocked to read that, right? There's two kinds of anger in the Greek. One is thumos. We'd get the word tempest. You know, boil over, explode, huge storm. And then you got this one, orge, annoyed. I get annoyed all the time. Let it go. Get it out of your life before you go to bed at night. Ain't nobody supposed to explode. You lost control. And we'll get into that. You know, I think of this, you know, well, I have to. I got it in there, and now I got it there, right? So, do you ever see kids fight on the street, right? And they explode on one another, and then they're wailing around like, in the fight, they're wailing around like got no control. It's all emotion. You get someone on the other side of that fight who doesn't lose control, guess what? They win. Because they're gonna select their shots. They're gonna think. You do it out of emotion, you lose. You may be a firebrand at the beginning of it, but you're the one on the floor at the end. It's the same thing. If you can't control, you got a situation come up, this thing could be explosive. You control yourself. You control your mind. You control your thoughts. You deliberately look for the solution. You want to just fly off the handle? You've lost control. You don't have control. That's the old man nature. So, hope that little diversion was of help. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't let him have place. I mean, we just talked about this. You know, you don't lose control. You can be annoyed. Jesus certainly was annoyed. He threw over the money changers. He dealt with the Pharisees. You whited wall. But it's always orge. Annoyed. He never lost control. That don't mean that your annoyance can't be big annoyance, but he never lost control. Let him that stole steal no more. Just stop it. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, you know, when you walk by the flesh, you just grieve that spirit. And it's always yelling at you, come on back. It's your conscience. But you're grieving it. Instead of walking in newness of life, you've put this thing on the side, and you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you ain't doing it. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's go to another one. One more. Galatians chapter 2. I love this verse because when I really saw this one again when I taught the Galatians class, which is up online, if you want to go, ChristianOutreachFellowship.org. I got the classes up there. Just about everything I've ever done is going to go up there. And hopefully it'll stay there for a while. Look at verse 20. It says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You have to ask yourself the question. Do you really identify with this? Is this your identity? Are you a new man, a new woman? Or are you still holding on to the old? All the positive things of walking by the Spirit, tender-hearted, kind. I mean, this ain't hard. Stop lying. Quit stealing. Work. Have to give. I mean, this isn't rocket science, is it? You got the ability to do it because of what Christ did on the cross. We reckon the old man dead and ourselves alive unto God. That's what I wanted to share with you.